Well, the comedic film Failure to Launch tells the pretty funny story of a young man named Trip. Trip is played by Matthew McConaughey. And early in this film, we get the idea that in some ways, Trip is an ordinary young guy. He's got a job. He's got a pretty active social life, a lot of friends. But not that far into the movie, we realize things are with Trip are a little bit unique, a little bit different. Trip is 35 years old and lives in his parents' basement. Trip's mom makes him breakfast every morning, does his laundry, cleans up after him. And pretty early into this movie, we recognize that Trip is failing in some ways to mature, to enter into adulthood. He is failing to launch. And his parents, even though they have contributed to this, are growing concerned. Isn't it every parent's hope and desire and effort to help their young child, adolescent, young adult launch fully into adulthood, to mature? Someone has described maturity as the state of being fully developed, physically, emotionally, relationally, to embrace adult-like responsibility for your life, for your decisions. And this morning, we want to talk a little bit about maturity. Is it possible that there is such thing as a spiritual failure to launch? Is it possible that sometimes we get stuck in our development? And this morning, we want to reflect on what does spiritual maturity look like? Just as maturity is not measured with age, what if spiritual maturity was not measured by how long you've been a Christian? Or how long you've attended church? Or how long you've believed certain things? But what if spiritual maturity was measured with things like, are you growing in your faith in Christ? Are you growing in a deeper trust? Is your life beginning to look more and more like the life of Christ, the character of Christ? Are you growing in humility and patience and kindness? These are difficult questions, but strike right at the heart of what it means to grow spiritually, to become spiritually mature. Well, what does spiritual maturity look like? Our text today comes from Ephesians chapter 4. This is God's word. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So many of you will know, if you've been here, that we're working our way through the book of Ephesians. And early on in the first three chapters, we've called this series Walking in Wonder, because we've been looking at the wonder of who God is and the identity that he's given us. And maybe you remember this phrase, we've looked at the phrase, what it means to be in Christ. Remember that we said that Paul was writing this book while he was in prison. His physical location was that he was in prison, in uncertainty, in trouble. But Paul said, no, my true location is actually found in Christ. And so we reflected on how we might be in a time of uncertainty, we might be in debt. We might have relationships we feel are in trouble. We might be in certain emotional places, but we've been reminded of the wonder of what the word says, that your true location is found where? It's found in Christ. And then last week, we started the second half of the book. Pastor Sharon was here. And we began to look at what does it mean to walk in the wonder of this good news. And so today we're going to reflect on the pathways, the marks of maturity. Now, maybe as a child or as a teenager, as a young adult, you had someone in your life, a parent, a coach, who at some point looked at you and said, you know, I really see that you're maturing. You're acting very maturely. You probably, like me, also had somebody at times speak into your life saying that you were acting immaturely. You were not developing in the way that you should. And I think we know intuitively the importance of growing and developing. In this passage, look at some of these phrases that pop out. First of all, the passage talks about being built up, becoming mature, entering into the fullness of Christ. No longer infants, growing into a mature body, growing and building itself up in love. So this passage is filled with these exhortations, this movement towards your growth and development as a follower of Christ. Just before we dive a little bit deeper, I'm struck by a story that I'm thinking about, where Jesus meets a man named Nicodemus. And you remember this story. This is a man who is in so many ways very mature. He's mature probably in terms of his age and life experience. He's a respected religious leader. He's respected among his community. He's kind of the picture of maturity. And Jesus looks at him and says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And the reason I'm drawing that out is the idea of to be born again, to follow Christ, is that we start out as infants, right? And we don't commit our life to Christ and instantly, boom, we're mature believers. There is growth and there is development that happens, and we learn step by step of what it means to deepen that walk, to trust God more, to become mature. And that's what this passage and what we're talking about today. And just for the next few moments, I want to look at two marks of maturity that we see in this passage. They're marks. They're also pathways to maturity. So when you walk out of here and somebody says, what was that sermon about? I want you to, at the end of the day, remember these two markers of maturity. And perhaps you'll sense the Lord speaking to you about, what does this look like in my life? So first, the first mark of maturity is that we mature by serving others. Or maybe a more nuanced way would be that we mature when we move from self-focus to serving others, from self to service. In this text, if we can follow the logic, Paul is saying that Christ gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and shepherds. Why did he give them? To equip the body of Christ. So Christ has given gifts to the church so that you and I can be equipped. And what purpose does that have? Well, the purpose is that we would then join him in works of service, to equip his people, verse 12, for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the New Testament, and especially Paul, there's a lot of words and they get thrown in and there's a lot of phrases. So I read this over and over and over this week. And the logic, it seems to be, is that Christ has equipped us with gifts so that when we use those gifts, we are building up the body and we are becoming mature. You see that progression, that logic? The equipping leads to works of service, and the works of service lead to our maturity. In chapter 2, if we go back in the Message version, we read this. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Now, the reason I want to stop here and just point out why this is so important, that works of service, that recognizing God has gifted you and exercising those, actually is a little counter to how our culture trains us to be. Our culture, many observers have told us, it really trains us to be consumers. So we might instinctively come to church, to a gathering like this, with a consumer mindset where we would say, the church primarily puts on religious services for me, and I receive that, and I can evaluate that, whether that's good or not. And if it's not good, I'll go down the street to another church. And I understand that. I'm not pointing all the focus on that. I understand that that's sometimes how we approach things. But what Paul is saying here is that the church is not a religious service that's provided, but it's a community where we roll up our sleeves, where we are active participants, where we are engaged, where we recognize we have gifts to share with others. And as we do that, the body grows and matures, and we grow and mature. Now, I realized this morning I'm preaching to the choir a little bit, because this community didn't even exist 5 years ago. This community exists because many of you took this to heart and rolled up your sleeves and said, how can I serve? How can I be involved? How can I engage? Whether it's with setting things up, whether it's hosting a small group, whether it's in hospitality, in social media, all kinds of ways you as a community have rolled up your sleeves and done this. And that has been a gift. Our service can help others grow, and our works of service can help us grow. I love what Daryl Johnson, he's a local author and pastor, and he actually helped set up this series with us. He wrote this in his commentary. You will not grow unless I exercise the gifts he has given me, and I will not grow unless you exercise the gifts he has given you. So this mutual sharing of gifts helps us to grow, to mature, to launch spiritually. So when you are engaged in acts of service, it helps the community. But I want to also suggest that serving helps you to mature. Serving helps you to grow. One of the best ways to mature is to not focus on your own growth, but to build others up. You know, when I was 16 years old, I had grown up in the church. But when I was 16, I really came to find faith for myself. I think there seems to be a point, if you've grown up in the church, where you recognize that there's a faith of your parents, which is beautiful and important and necessary as a foundation. But there comes a point where you decide for yourself, is this what I want? Do I want to be a follower of Christ? And at age 16, I got baptized, and I felt strongly that I was making this decision for myself. And when I was 18, just a couple years later, my youth pastor, Mike, he asked me a question. He said, would you be willing to teach the junior high youth class on a Sunday? Now, this was kind of ages 11, 12, 13, 14. And I'll be honest with you, I had a picture in my mind, and here was the picture of your typical age 13, 14, 15, that age, a swirling ball of destructive energy that would devour anything in its path. That was the picture that I had came to mind. And I have to say, after working with this group for many, many years, that's actually bang on. That's totally accurate. That is really what it was like. And so I remember feeling a little inadequate. So my plan that first Sunday was I bought 2 dozen donuts and I brought them and I thought, well, at least that'll be a good start for them. Of course, those were devoured within the first few minutes. And I recognized I have to be prepared. I have to know what I'm doing here. I have to offer them something. And I studied the Bible like I had never studied it before. You ever heard that expression, if you want to learn something, teach it? Because once you stand up and you have to teach it, you realize I better know this for myself. And so it caused me to be stretched. And I found that I was studying like I had never studied before. I was praying in a different way. Some of them were prayers of desperation sometimes, but I felt stretched. And it was a place that God was using to grow me. Now, did those kids benefit from that time together? I think so. But I think I benefited even more, just as much or even more, because it was in the context of serving that I was stretched, that I had to depend on God. Have you experienced that in your own life, where you've said yes to something, you've offered to serve, to say, well, maybe I have a gift here that I could offer, and then in that place, God uses that to grow you, to stretch your faith, to bring maturity. Pastor Ken, our senior pastor, is here, and I was thinking, this is like bonus material, but since he's here, I'm going to share it. I remember many years ago, we were at a service, and somebody had come up after the service and had asked for prayer. And Ken, I don't know if you remember this, but the person had chatted with me and prayed with me, and they had said something along the lines of, I'm feeling really stagnant in my faith, and I'm not really growing, and frankly, I'm just kind of bored. And I had prayed for the person and offered a few things, and then I don't know if they got any value from it, so they went to Ken and asked for his advice. And Ken said something really bold, which I really remember to this day. He said, Have you thought of moving overseas and serving others? Have you thought of giving your time and energy to find those in need and come alongside and serve them? And it was a really bold suggestion. Like shockingly bold. But I remember looking into his eyes and recognizing just the value of sometimes when we're in that place where we feel a bit stagnant, where we want to grow, sometimes focusing on our own growth is not actually the best. It's just recognizing maybe I need to expose myself to the broader world, the larger needs that are there, and throw myself into it. And as a byproduct, you'll experience tremendous growth. So first, one of the pathways, one of the marks of maturity is that we mature through serving. Remember, Paul says, I've given gifts to the church to equip you so that you will serve. And in your serving, the church will be built up and will become mature. Well, secondly, and this is also a way of serving, but the text goes on, second mark of maturity, is that we mature by speaking the truth in love. One of the most important ways that we serve one another is we become a community that speaks the truth in love and that we receive the truth in love. I read a story. I'm sure you recognize the importance of speaking the truth in love, but I read a story this week that just hints at the importance of this. It was a local woman actually, who was, she had a job, a pretty good job, but she'd always dreamed of starting her own business. And she ended up starting this business of crafting these specialty desserts, you know, special cakes, strawberries that are dipped in chocolate and wrapped in this really beautiful packaging that, you know, and her business just took off. Sales were through the roof, especially Mother's Day and Christmas and Valentine's Day. She was thrilled. But recognized that something wasn't really working here because financially she seemed to be not getting ahead in any way, and it didn't make sense to her. So she had a friend who was an accountant. I met some accountants here today this morning, some accountants, and she said, "Would you come and take a look at my business and offer me some candid feedback?" And her friend who was an accountant came in and looked at things and reported back and said, "Look, you're one of the most passionate, hardworking, creative people I know. But accounting-wise, financially, this is a disaster. You're taking money that you cash that you've received from customers, and you're paying bills without any records. I don't know where some of this money is going. If you don't change, you will go bankrupt." And it was shocking because the sales had never been better. And I'm sure that that young entrepreneur, that was maybe an uncomfortable conversation to had, but was it the necessary thing that she needed to hear? Did that conversation save her business? It did. So we recognize the importance of candid feedback into our lives, not just in a business context, but spiritually and relationally. One of the most important ways that we grow is that we speak the truth in love and we receive candid feedback from others. The well-known former CEO of General Electric, Jack Welch, believed that the greatest kindness a leader can offer is candid feedback. And Welch famously once said, "The biggest cowards are managers who don't let their people know where they stand." This week in our church context, and for some of you who don't, we have 5 different locations of tents. So we have a considerable staff, and I have the privilege of supporting and supervising some of those staff. And we were doing some performance reviews this week, some annual performance reviews, and I was reflecting back to some of the most important conversations I had that helped me grow were performance reviews, where one of my supervisors, whom I trusted, whom I knew was going to speak truth in love, they affirmed certain things that they saw in my life, but they also pointed out, "Jade, there are some gaps here. There are some things that you need to pay attention to." And at the end of that conversation, I felt a little bit of the sting of that, because that's natural. We want to go into a performance review and say, "Everything's amazing. You're amazing. You don't need to change anything." But if that's happening, I don't know maybe if the truth is being spoken in love. And in these contexts, I look back and I go, I thank God for those moments. People who spoke into my life some of the gaps, some of the flaws, some of the areas that I needed to pay attention to. Very, very important. As a society, many have observed in Western culture that we often hedge the truth, that we avoid difficult conversations. We avoid them. And in what we're doing is we're putting a higher value on our own comfort. And we often settle for relationships that lack depth because we're not willing to have those difficult conversations. So looping back to the maturity question, what helps us to mature is that we both speak the truth in love and that we're willing to receive the truth in love. To recognize that one of the best ways that we serve each other is we have conversations like this. And that helps us to grow. Let me invite you to consider some of these diagnostic questions. as a way of speaking the truth to yourself. Am I growing in love for God and for others? Am I growing in humility and self-control? Am I growing in kindness and patience? Am I growing a deeper inner peace, knowing that I am located in Christ? These are the questions of God's ongoing work of maturity in our life. Maybe we speak the truth by starting with ourselves to reflect on those questions, perhaps this week, to reflect on that. And then I want to give you another challenge. After you've asked yourself those questions, why don't you find a trusted friend and ask them about what they see in your life? Do they see this maturing and growing process in your life? Why don't you ask your roommate? What's it like to have me as your roommate? Tell me about the good days, but tell me about the difficult days. You know, so last week was Mother's Day, my wife, I got to brag about my wife for a moment. On Mother's Day, we had this conversation, and Brandy, my wife, said to our kids, "Tell me about a great like mom moment this year. What stands out?" And the kids said something, and then she asked this question on Mother's Day: What could I do to be a better mom? And I was really inspired by that because it wasn't asked out of a sense of insecurity. It was asked out of a genuine desire to, what's it like to have me as your mom, and tell me about some ways that I can grow in that. I just found that really inspiring because that is the language of maturing and growing. Recognizing, you know, what's it like to have me as your spouse or your supervisor or your roommate? What's it like to have me as your friend? Tell me about that. Tell me about the good days and tell me about the tough days. And those can be questions that help us pray into God, would you deepen this in my life? So today, I trust that you have heard the importance, just to recap, the importance of this growing and maturing work that God is doing in our lives. And that you will remember these two takeaways, that the marks and the pathway of maturity include the works of service. How is God shifting me to away from self towards serving others using my gifts? And secondly, am I speaking the truth in love? Am I willing to receive the truth in love as a pathway and mark of growth? And as we do so, may we remember this beautiful affirmation and promise that is found in our text, that as we do so, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And our prayer for this community at UBC, from Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray together. So living God, I'm so grateful for this community of believers, your body here at UBC Point Grey. Thank you for the beautiful examples of how you have and are maturing us. You are deepening our trust in you. You're growing this community. I'm so grateful for what's happening. And we ask for more. That the very words that we've spoken today, that you would bring us into the reality of them. Remind us of this ongoing work of maturity. That yes, we have been born again, made alive in you, and now you're helping us to grow up in you. So, by your Spirit, make that happen. These questions that we've wrestled with this morning, may you bring them back to mind this week for us. May they be prayers that we offer to you. And we pray this in Christ's name.